quarterly meeting of the Board of Regents. Welcome to everyone. I can't imagine what everybody's here for, but it's nice to see everybody at our meeting. Today is a historic day at our university and making history. And with that, I would like to welcome and greet President Gaboni for his first official meeting of our board, and extend the welcome to Casey Gaboni for coming today to join with us in this special occasion. We are honored today to have Chief Justice John D. Benton Jr. of the Kentucky Supreme Court present to officiate in our swearing in of President Gaboni. So I ask President Gaboni to join Chief Justice Minton at the front of the room for the official swearing in.
Do you solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this Commonwealth and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky so long as you continue a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of President of Western Kentucky University according to law? And do you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you being a citizen of this state have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within this state or out of it, or have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, or have you acted as a second in carrying a challenge, or aided or assisted any person thus offending you? So help you God. Congratulations.
President Pass to present you with the Regent's Pen as a member, official member of the Kentucky University of the Regents.
Congratulations. Thank you, Regent.
I'm not quite sure what I've been doing for the past month.
I'm glad to be here.
I can't ask you that. Does that mean the last 3 weeks?
I will call for Regent Bell and Regent Johnson to join me at the front of the room for the swearing in of the office.
I think our president maybe had something he wanted to say.
Oh, do you want to say?
Regent Hayden and Regents, let me tell you, in one's life, there are very few occasions that are this special. And you don't get here without the support of family, and so Casey, thank you, my entire family, but also the entire community. And I look forward to continuing the remarkable trajectory of this institution and the work that we're going to do together going forward. Regents, faculty, staff, alumni, friends, donors, legislators, all stakeholders working as one. Thank you.
In the presence of the Board of members and honored guests here assembled, do you solemnly promise and pledge to faithfully execute the duties of chair of the Dedication Board of Regents, to the best of your knowledge and ability to set forth in the board bylaws and code of ethics. Mr. Johnson, please raise your right hand. In the presence of board members and honored guests here assembled, do you solemnly promise and pledge to faithfully execute the duties of vice chair of the WKU Board of Regents to the best of your knowledge and ability as set forth in the bylaws and code of ethics?
I do.
Mr. Higdon, right hand. In the presence of board members and honored guests here assembled, do you solemnly promise and pledge to faithfully execute the duties of secretary of the WKU Board of Regents to the best of your knowledge and ability as set forth in the board bylaws and code of ethics? Congratulations to all of you.
Freddie, if you'll pass that gavel down, I'll learn how to use it.
I'll learn how to use it. The important part's the second.
I have the distinct pleasure as my first action as chair of the board to swear in a new regent who is here today. So, George, if you'll meet me up front, we will have another oath.
George Nichols. Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that you support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth, faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky, so long as you continue a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of member of the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University, according to law. And you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you, being a citizen of the state, have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within the state, nor out of it, nor have you sent or accepted the challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons. Nor have you acted as second to the nor a person. Bestowing another pen today. This pen actually was designed by our former president, Ramsden. And to me, I think it serves as a very public reminder and indication that you as a regent have willingly accepted the fiduciary's duties of care and loyalty obedience that are the obligations of the region and the trustees. So,
can we go after the meeting?
Okay. We're having a call for a group photo.
All the board, but okay.
New region.
Okay.
With the president.
Sure. You want the president in there?
Of course. Yeah.
Thank
Perfect. All right.
Well, I've got a better profile. That's what I accused me of that. You are.
All right. Everybody ready? Great. Thank you. Secretary, if we could, we'd need a roll call.
Chair Bell.
Here.
Regent Birch.
Here.
Regent Dahmer.
Here.
Regent Higdon here. Regent Henson.
Present.
Regent Johnson.
Here.
Regent McKinney.
Here.
Regent Nichols.
Here.
Regent Porter.
Here.
Regent Ridley.
Here.
Regent Smith.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have complete membership of 11 of the regents present here today, representing the quorum of the board.
Thank you very much. I would also mention that all of our members were present yesterday. We spent the day having a retreat that I think everyone found very stimulating and beneficial. And it's great to have a board that is engaged and involved, and I think we have that today, and I'm grateful for that. Our first order of business is approval of the minutes from our April 28th meeting. I think we have all had copies of those minutes for our perusal.
Motion to approve.
Your motion.
Second.
And a second. David, any discussion or amendments? If not, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Minutes are approved. We'll now go to our committee agendas, and we have consent agendas from those committees which met, and there was discussion of all of these items previously at those meetings. I'll call on Regent Ridley to present the academic affairs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and as everyone is aware, we do have a consent agenda. Therefore, we have numerous items on the action items in your outline. Ken, as a matter of fact, we have some exciting things today, and we'll be assisted by the provost, Dr. Lee, for some of those. However, we do always offer the opportunity to pull any of the consent items off if there is further discussion. And at this time, I'd like to ask, is there any particular action item that you'd like to review for more discussion or consideration? Hearing none, we will move. Do I hear a motion to approve the action items of the Academic Affairs Committee?
So moved.
Second. Kenny and Regent Smith. With that, before a vote, I would like for us to have our presentation, and then we'll vote on that.
Thank you very much. We have seven programs and a name change that you all are hopefully going to approve this morning. We also have two personnel matters. First of all is the approval of a university distinguished professor, Dr. Albert Meyer from the Department of Biology. An outline of Professor Meyer's career is in your materials, but he is a very worthy addition to this extremely distinguished group of university distinguished professors, and I'm delighted to see him added to the number of that group. We are also asking you to approve folks for a merit status. And three of those folks are with us this morning, and I would like to take a few minutes to quickly introduce them to you. All three of them started here in the mid-1970s, so they have each contributed in various ways more than 40 years of professional work to this institution. Their emeritus status is well-earned, and this university has benefited enormously from the work of each of these three folks who are here this morning. I'd like to start by introducing Professor Dick Roberts, who is right back here. Dick's role in teacher education has been considerable over a long period of time. The piece that I would especially like to point to, though, is the work with the KTIP program, the Kentucky Teacher Internship Program. It's crucial in terms of a new teacher's transition into the profession, and Dick has overseen this since its inception. But his impact on getting folks well launched in their careers is really significant. And if any of you have been around our gifted studies programs, you know that Dick has been a very significant force in that and has worked very well with the student participants in those in the gifted studies program over a long period of time. Dick's contributions over the last 40 years have been enormous, significant. Dick, thank you very much. I'd also like to introduce Dr. Frank Kersting from, also back here, from Communication Disorders. Frank has been crucial in the kinds of programs related to communication disorders over his entire career here. He was the director of the Kelly Autism Program. He was the first director of clinical studies in communication disorders. But he has played an especially important role in recent years with the Suzanne Vitale Clinical Education Complex, so much so that he's basically an ongoing member of that board. He's currently chair of that board. But his contributions to this important part of the university and such an important part of our link with the community as well, really significant. He took a break a few years ago, and he and his wife, Carol, went to Ukraine as members of the Peace Corps, but they're back with us now. We're really delighted to have Frank back in the work with the Suzanne Vitale Clinical Education Complex. Frank. And finally, over here in the corner, Richard Weigel, a university distinguished professor. Richard's contributions go in several different directions, but let me highlight a couple. He has been probably the preeminent champion on this campus of general education throughout his 40 years here. He's chaired committees. He's worked diligently with his colleagues. But the strength of what is now our Colonnade program rests to a large extent on the work that Richard has done over the years. He's did 9 years as head of the history department, and he was so good at that a few years down the road, when I was kind of hard put for a head of the modern languages department, he agreed to step in and do that as well. He is a significant scholar in Roman history, a collector of Roman coins, and as I say, a university's distinguished professor, but his impact on this university is considerable. In recent years, after giving up the department head position, he has taken on the role of advising every single major in the history department, which is no mean achievement either. So, Richard, thank you very much. And those are my introductions for this morning, but thank you very much for the opportunity to present these folks who have contributed so much to the university.
Thank you, I think we all ought to pause a second and just think about what great accomplishments these gentlemen have added to this university for their compassion, for their work, and their dedication to the students. These lives that they've touched over these many years have created who we are as an institution. And I would like to offer another round of applause to these gentlemen and their dedication and their compassion to our university. Any other comments about our action items? It's time for a vote. Those that will approve the action items in the consent agenda, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you all very much.
One more.
Oh, enrollment. Oh, pardon me. Sorry. I got excited about the wonderfulness of the moment, so.
Well, and while Brian sits down, let me echo what Don said about the professors. And we appreciate you being here today. It really does help us to see the lifeblood, along with students of the university, here at our meeting today. It adds a lot to it.
Good morning. Before I offer the enrollment kind of sort of update for the day, I must say, though, on behalf of the Division of Enrollment Management and Enrollment Management Leadership Team, we're very excited and pleased to welcome and have Dr. Cavone and Ms. Cavone here with us because for many reasons. But Dr. Cavone, in our early conversations, he not only understands, but he gets the phenomenon and this dynamic of enrollment management, which is some trick to get some days. So thank you. We look forward to working with you and helping grow our enrollment profile. So. Here we are in late July. Board, we don't usually traditionally produce a written enrollment report for the board until September, after school gets started, and absolutely in October when the census is set. But just to kind of give you a pulse of where we are right now, and I've said this to you before, you know, the EM world is an ever-changing and organic sort of world and culture. But right now, you know, as we look at, we're 4 weeks out. We're 4 weeks out from school starting, and we don't have everything in. We have three top sessions remaining, topper orientation sessions. Those are one international orientation session. It'll be before a few days before class. Dual credits will not enroll until we get closer to late August, early September, and that'll be, you know, 2,000 plus different students. But I just thought it was just to hit on a few points that would be what we know today or this week. First time, first year freshmen, we're up about 172 students as I last looked at that, which is a good thing. Transfer students are exactly flat across the board, whether it be 4 year or KCTCS 2 year schools. I suspect transfers will have a slight uptick just because, and it's flat at the moment, because transcripts and some of the minutia getting those students in at the last hour from KCTCS and other schools, that's just the dynamic of that. Admissions, enrollment management, financial aid, there's a great work to be done in these last few weeks, as it always is, and it's all focused on the yielding. You know, we mentioned yesterday in the retreat about, you know, there are 1,100 plus newly admitted students than where we were a year ago. And we, the admissions office and everyone in the EM and from across campus are working to yield those students to get into a topper session and get enrolled and registered and enrolled. Some things that we know about the class today. The incoming freshman class is strong. It remains strong. Average ACT score right now is 23, where Kentucky's average is 20. Our GPA is ticked up a little bit for this incoming class, 3.33. That's 3 years in a row. We've ratcheted it up slightly. And I tell you those things because long-term that will feed positive results for our retention. 59%, and this was an interesting piece that we discussed in the last 24 hours, 59% of the first-time, first-year students have earned college credit before hitting WKU, before walking in the door this fall. And that's a growing number. And in that number, just to break that down even further, those incoming freshmen or the incoming students, they've had so many college classes in their past that the incoming class is 141 sophomore classifications, 26 juniors, and even one first-time senior. They're bringing so many hours to the table. Again, the reason I mention that is because it's changing. It's just a very organic sort of phenomenon in EM that the students are bringing more hours in, and it's a good problem to have, speaking to the strength of the class. Again, Western Kentucky remains one of the highest, the highest right now of ACT receivers in the state of Kentucky. And Jace had presented that in another presentation recently, but that's no small characteristic. The incoming class is students from over 23 different states. So diversity strong. Out of that, 21% of the students are reporting themselves as students of color. And if you break that down even further, African American students remain the highest at 12.2%. That's slightly uptick from last year. And the demographic, just one little piece on the demographics of the class as of this week, our stewardship to the people of the Commonwealth of Kentucky still strong. 70% of those that is the incoming class are from Kentucky. And that's saying something, because the Kentucky high school graduate numbers are not growing. You know, they're kind of flattening and slightly declining. But our out-of-state, out-of-region recruitment is showing positive upticks, and we'll outlay that for you in the September meeting as to how that's looking. Graduation rates and all those sorts of things, whether they're 4-year, 6-year, much as they have been in the past, the 4-year has improved slightly, somewhat, but those are just characteristics of the class, because I can't really give you a number today with these 4 weeks remaining. I would say if we predict working with, you know, enrollment management and institutional research, you know, the overall number for the fall could look very similar to last year. So it could be flat. I don't like to say down, but, I mean, there will be pockets of it, whether, you know, different, if you drill down different pockets of it, that could possibly be. And I think the group knows that, meaning the retention is kind of the bear in the room that we're all wrapping our hands around. It's not an easy one to turn around. I stopped using the analogy turning around the Titanic. It's like turning around a cruise ship or an aircraft carrier. So, and everyone on campus from enrollment management is working on this retention, persistence, and graduation issue. It was even an importance enough of an issue that, you know, the board worked very closely with that yesterday in the retreat. And a lot of great things are going on to do to turn that around. So 4 weeks left, and even then, it's about 2 weeks into school is really the solid point where, you know, we can come back to you and tell you where we are. But it's a lot of work to do over the next month. But we hadn't been before you in a couple board meetings, and I at least wanted to at least let you know where we are. The top orientation numbers, the three that are left, those RSVPs are strong. They're high. And that's an indicator that, you know, hopefully if we yield those students, excuse me, when we yield those students, that will continue to feed the bottom line on those first-time freshmen. International enrollment, that's usually a day or two for new internationals before a new student orientation. Overall international enrollment, like schools across the country, we'll see some slippage. But I don't think, you know, some schools are seeing 50 and 60% declines. We will not see that this fall in international. But, you know, being completely transparent with you, I mean, international will have probably a slight a dip. But, again, it all remains to be seen. That's kind of where we are today here as we close out July. I don't, you know, but you know, we're hovering around 16,000 cumulative, but that number will change by Monday morning. So, so that doesn't mean anything really today. So that's really a very cliff note version of the pulse of enrollment here, as we're here in the last few days of July, with a lot of work left to be done.
Would you like to say anything, President?
I'd just like to add that one of the conversations that we need to have as an institution, and I hope to engage the board in this as well, is what is the appropriate mix of students? And we know we have 20,000 students in total, but disaggregating those numbers and talking about what that mix is and what the desired mix is going to be part of our strategic planning process. But I am pleased with where we are, given some of the national and international pressures on enrollment, but we need to be aggressive and nimble to continue the work that's already happening.
Thank you very much. If you had the opportunity to fly first class or coach, which would you pick? Certainly you would. The value and the ability to educate a student at WKU is one of the best kept secrets in this United States. You can fly first class here. We've got an outstanding faculty. We've got an outstanding administration. We've got value for our product that we're producing, which are graduates with jobs. And it's not just the responsibility of this enrollment group. This is, if you all heard me in the past, it's a responsibility of every alumnus, every stakeholder, for us to promote in a positive way one thing, and that's ask for the order. Who do you know that is teeing themselves up to come to WKU as a freshman in high school or a senior? And if we all embrace that, everyone, we will not have a problem with enrollment. because the story is there, and it's an easy story. Just remember, which would you prefer, first class or coach? And we have a first class place to educate these kids. With that, Mr. Chairman, I do think that's the end of my agenda.
I think the chairman of our academic committee is fulfilling his duty to care in a deep way, and certainly a genuine way. And yes, as we talked yesterday, part of our responsibility is to be advocates for this university, which does offer tremendous value. So,
just Mr. Chairman, just FYI, just shameless plug, if you will, these are the new scholarship information items that are going out into the high schools. Just wanted you all to have a copy of that as well. Strong scholarship program, but this, you know, affordability is top of mind.
In order to produce that value on campus, we have to have a strong finance committee. With that,
thank you. The same as Regent Ridley mentioned, we have three action items. All of them were considered at the last committee meeting, in which we had a full contingency of committee members present. And so I will ask the same question. Does anybody desire to remove any one of these action consent items off of this agenda and treat separately? Hearing no such request, then I will entertain a motion to approve action items number 1, 2, and 3.
Don't
move. Moved by Regent Ridley. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? I don't know that we need, Ann, you need to say anything? Any discussion or comments regarding these action items? Hearing none, then all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. The motion carries unanimously, and I can affirmatively state that is the end of my agenda.
Thank you very much. We have some other business and announcements before we conclude our meeting. And I think we will first roll into some reports we have on foundations. We're all keenly aware of how important foundations can be in our mission and increasing importance over the last several years or decade, and we're also keenly aware of how important it is for us to be aware of how those foundations are being administered, and so we'll have a report on that today. Donald Smith.
Thanks, Chairman Bale, and thanks to the Board of Regents for allowing us an opportunity to speak this morning on behalf of the foundations. And also, as I look around the room, I see many of you all that have established endowed scholarship funds, and I want to say thank you not only for your fiduciary responsibility you're carrying out on this board, but also for your generous philanthropic support personally. So, thank you.
Donald, just said that we're switching. We've got Paula up first.
No, I think that's me.
Oh, that's you. It is you. Sorry. Never mind.
So just to start with a little bit about the College Heights Foundation, we were founded in 1923 as a separate 501c3 organization, and there was a faculty member by the name of Lila Boone who came to Dr. Henry Hardin Cherry at the time with $100, and she indicated that she wanted to give $100 to allow deserving students an opportunity to get an education. Dr. Cherry wasn't quite sure what to do with that $100 at the time. That was about $1,800 in today's dollars. In order to decide which students were going to get that and how to distribute that to individuals to be able to get an education. So the College Heights Foundation was created in 1923 with that $100 gift, and now we're about $63 million in assets. So we are governed by a 12-member board of directors. All those serve without remuneration, and they're individuals that serve three-year terms. Our motto in the College Heights Foundation is Guardian of Trust. And that's something that we take very seriously. We administer about 1,200 different scholarship funds, and each one of those funds tells a special and unique story. So when a donor establishes that scholarship fund, they may have an interest in a geographic area, they may have an academic program, they may have an interest in dependents of military veterans, whatever the criteria that they're passionate about, they're setting up a trust arrangement with the College Heights Foundation that we're going to administer that in perpetuity. And that's the great thing about college endowments. You know, you look at many things in society that you can say that aren't going to last forever. Endowments are going to last forever. Perpetuity is a long time. So when we agree with the donor that we're going to take that endowment, we're going to award it 10 years from now, 50 years from now, 500 years from now, we'll still be awarding that scholarship fund according to the donor's wishes when they establish that. So again, we're assets of about $63 million now. We've been very pleased over the past few years with our strong investment returns. Last year, many of you all know what's going on around the state with foundations, and there was the Louisville Center for Investigative Reporting that did a study of all the foundations in the Commonwealth of Kentucky analyzing their investment returns. And we were pleased that the College Heights Foundation was named the number one in the state of Kentucky for our investment performance. And this past year and over the past few years, we provide more than $5 million in scholarship support to deserving students that are getting education. So when Dr. Meredith was talking about that model that we created on the scholarship piece, you'll see the College Heights Foundation plays an important role in providing $5 million out of that scholarship total. So here's a little bit kind of about the numbers. You can see how we've grown over the years. Again, $63,451,000 in assets. The 10-year investment return, so the past 3 years has been a 5.83, the 5-year at 8.78, and the 10-year at 6.26. So any foundation is trying to achieve what we call a hurdle rate. That's the percentage we're trying to achieve in any given year. So our spending policy is 4%. We have a 1.5% management fee, and then we have to protect against cost of inflation and rising tuition increases. We try to average over a 7% return in any given year just so we can keep up with that. So you can see over a 10-year, we're tracking close to that. Certainly the 5-year, we've surpassed that. Overall giving last year to the College Heights Foundation, many of you may have seen the press release that went out yesterday of giving for the university. When we report giving totals, that's comprehensive for the entire institution. WKU Foundation, College Heights Foundation, Hilltopper Athletic Foundation, Alumni Association, all that is a comprehensive total. The College Heights Foundation this past year, record in giving with $11.3 million in contributions. The deferred gift inventory, which again is very important as we think down the road, these are individuals that have left WKU and the College Heights Foundation and their estate plans. Total deferred giving for the institution is over $100 million now. Cumulative for the College Heights Foundation is a little bit more than $45 million. And this breaks it down into bequest, charitable remainder trust, life insurance policy, and gift annuities. So what you see is a donor might be giving $1,000 a year or $5,000 a year to the foundation, and when you can have a conversation with them and say, well, once you pass away, that $1,000 will no longer be coming into the institution. If you'll set up a $25,000 endowment in your estate, that $1,000 will be there forever. And that resonates with a lot of individuals, so we have several hundred individuals that make up this deferred gift inventory. And the amount of scholarships awarded, you can see this has been fairly consistent over the past few years, even as the endowment has grown. And if, for those of you that are math majors and have already done it, when you see $60 million in assets, we're at 4% spending policy, so about $2.4, $2.5 million is coming out of the endowment. The rest of this is what we call non-endowed funds. So they're simply coming in and out based on a donor setting up an annual gift versus an endowed gift. Total number of funds administered in the College Heights Foundation now is right at 1,200. You can see 1,051 of those are endowed and 144 non-endowed. And this is the slide that I think is really telling. We can dive into this for a moment. When the College Heights Foundation was founded again in 1923, a number of individuals set up those endowed scholarship funds at the $10,000 level or such. When I was in school in the early 90s, my tuition was only $400. By the time I graduated, it was $600, so most of those $10,000 endowments were providing a full tuition award. Well, now it takes a $250,000 endowment to buy the same thing, a $10,000 full tuition award. So 10 times what it used to cost to be able to buy the same thing, a tuition scholarship. So we've had a tough time keeping pace with the rising tuition costs to be able to enable those students for our scholarship funds to provide that full tuition education. Now, when I say that, a lot of these other funds are still doing exactly what we need it to do. And Brian can correct me on the number, but somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 is that really that margin that students need to be able to stay in school or not. So our $25,000 endowments up to the $50,000 endowments are still providing that opportunity for students to get here, but it's just not buying that full tuition like it used to. And I would be remiss if I didn't address one other thing for many of you over the next few weeks are going to see some construction going on. The College Heights Foundation, that building to the left was built in 1967 as the permanent home for the College Heights Foundation. It cost $237,000 at the time to build that, and much like other projects on campus, the renovations costing about 10 times what the original cost to build them. But we will be renovating the College Heights Foundation thanks to the generosity of an individual donor that came forward with the gift, and we're raising some additional support to round out the balance. But currently we're not ADA accessible. There are a number of issues and challenges within our building, so we'll be addressing this through a renovation. I'd be happy to answer any questions about the College Heights Foundation or anything else you have. Dr. Birch.
Are all of the student scholarships in the College Heights Foundation, or some in the WKU?
Yeah, that's a good question. Not all of them are, but predominantly they're in the College Heights Foundation. So the difference between, and I'm sure Paula Jarboe will address this some in the WKU Foundation report, the College Heights Foundation, when we were founded, were three basic purposes, but primarily scholarships. Now, through the years, we've done different things. The Kentucky building was built on the president's home on Chestnut Street. For a while, ran the bookstore, which was why it's called the College Heights Bookstore, ran a laundry service. So we've done different things, but primarily our focus has been on scholarships. I'd say all but about 12 or so. How many scholarship funds would you say?
We have 5 million.
No, different funds.
Yeah.
Yeah, so between a dozen and 20 scholarship funds that are in the WKU Foundation, but primarily in the College Heights Foundation.
Any other questions? No. Fine report and certainly great performance to be the number one in the state.
Thanks, sir.
Good. Thank you. All right. Mrs. Paula Jarboe is here with us today to update us on the WKU Foundation.
Thank you for having me. I am the Chief Financial Officer and Treasurer of the WKU Foundation, and I've been in that role with different titles over the last 20 years. So, been with the foundation quite a while. Today I want to give you a presentation about the other other large foundation at Western. Unlike the College Heights Foundation, we're the new kid on the block. We were only founded 24 years ago. Last Sunday was our anniversary. We are governed by a 24-member board of trustees, including representatives from the Board of Regents, Hilltopper Athletic Foundation, College Heights Foundation, and the Alumni Association. We have Julie Henson on our board currently, along with, it was Mr. Higdon, but I assume it will be Dr. Bale going forward. These 24 members then provide us with four standing committees. We have the Audit and Finance Committee, the Membership and Governance Committee, the Investment Committee, and the Executive Committee, which is made up of the chairs of the various committees, along with the chair of the board and the vice chair of the board. We recently established a new committee, well, it's really an advisory committee, of investment consultants that are locally housed. And so they're going to be giving us their input in terms of how we're doing in terms of broad categories of investments and relating to our returns, and just to see how to compare with what they think it ought to be. So that's just giving us another level of opportunity to expand our ability to be nimble in the market. We administer over 900 funds, and we have about a dozen of those that are scholarships. We support people, places, and programs, basically. We do professorships, some scholarships. We do a lot of construction, funds for excellence, and departmental funds. So if someone wants to donate to the history department, we would take those funds and utilize them how they would be needed. We have assets of $106 million as of June 30th. And we also are the fiduciary for the trusts, annuities, the Alumni Association, Real Estate Corp, and Hilltopper Athletic Foundation. And we work with those areas to handle their financial transactions. Our total assets, to just give you some line of our growth, in 2009 we were at $81 million, now we're at $106 million. Most of that is in investments, a little bit of property, and then we have some cash on hand. Our investment returns, why the last few years haven't been as stellar as the College Heights Foundation, they have been pretty good overall. We have meetings every January or February, whatever our first board meeting of committee meeting of that year is. We consider in consulting with our consultants. We have investment consultants externally, and they give us some ratios of what they project the market is going to do. So we take a look at the risk and the reward and the return policy. So right now our target is a 6.7% return with a 10.94% risk factor. So that's what we, our target is based on our target allocations. So we adjust that every February and see where we are, and then if we have something during the year that needs to be adjusted, when we have our quarterly meetings, we're able to do that. Then I was going to show you our cash contributions to the WKU Foundation. This does not include pledges, doesn't include deferred gift inventories. It's just actual cash. And we're on a calendar year basis, so it's a little bit differently than what you might see like in the last press release about giving. But so we only have 4.3 in this calendar year, but last calendar year we ended at 11.9 million just in cash. That doesn't include gift in kinds or any other categories. And these are the expenses that we pay on behalf of WKU. The first column you'll see in 2009 had a spike, and that was due to the construction work done at the L.T. Smith Stadium. And at that time, the baseball field, the clubhouse was being built, and the chapel was being built. And that was about pretty close to $8 million of that $14.1 million. And then in 2016, we had a 17.7% spent, and almost 10 of that was for the Gatton Academy expansion. So you'll notice that we seem to spike when we have a lot of construction on campus. I just wanted to show you also, just to give you an idea of the 10 years of impact that we've had. You know, the foundation can go back, like the College Heights Foundation, and do a total, but I just wanted to show you some of the last 10 years, some of the things we've spent money on. And these are not expenses that run the WKU Foundation. These are expenses that the departments, the programs have asked us to spend on behalf of the university. We've done $3 million in supplies, which includes classroom and instructional supplies, books, videos, office supplies, some printing and postage for them. We've spent $6 million in professional services, which are membership and dues, public media fees, consulting fees, and contracts. $7 million in travel and events that included registration fees for conferences and professional development, $8 million in scholarship, $11 million in salary supplements for faculty and staff, and the biggest category is $35 million in construction and equipment, which included these beautiful buildings on campus, the Gatton Academy expansion, the Chandler Memorial Chapel, Houchins L.T. Smith Stadium expansion, the Nick Dennis Field and Paul Orbison Clubhouse at the baseball complex, the Adams Whitaker Student Publication Center, the Augustine Alumni Center, and the State Farm Courtyard. So without donors, we wouldn't be able to do any of this. And if you have any, that's the contact information, but if you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and address them. Dr. Birch.
On the previous slide about the 10 years in the next one, I'm sorry.
That one?
Are those commitments, for example, ones that are being repaid to the foundation? Or
that's money we actually paid the construction company.
You paid it, but, mm-hmm.
But from,
all
with
part
donors,
of it is
from donors.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And some of it's not.
The only one that has a component that's not donor related is the Augustine Alumni Center, because that's where we're housed.
Okay.
So we put a little skin in the game, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? I had one on this year's cash. Mm-hmm. It looks like you prorated it for the year, we're behind. Or do you get most of that at the end of the year?
We get an awful lot at the end of the year.
End of the year. We really do.
It's skewed more toward the end of the year.
So you're hopeful that we may...
We did have a large gift, let me go back, between 15 and 16 to pay for that Gatton Academy expansion. So, but I think we'll okay. be close, let's put it that way.
Okay, so the gift from Mr. Gatton
is
passed
those?
Through there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Heartened by the fact I didn't see any speculative investments.
No.
All right. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Presentation. We're nearing the end of the meeting, so before we conclude and pass out committee assignments, we're also going to pass out proposed dates for our future meetings. There have been some amendments made with these proposed dates to better take into consideration some of the data we get, particularly financial data, for the purpose of allowing the board to have a little more time to digest some of that information. So those are things that people can look at and then comment on. Before we conclude, I do want to personally express my great appreciation to Chairman Rick Higdon for all that he's done the last several years, and in my 4 years on the board, showing me some of the ropes initially and doing what I think has been a tremendous job and carrying Western forward, and I appreciate the confidence that was placed in me in the presidential search and now in this role by the entire board. Again, I look around the room. We have George here today, but there's a lot of talent on this board. There's a lot of passion on the board, and I hope that we can all see fit to put that to good use. I think it will be, as I stated yesterday, extremely important that we be thought partners with our new president and work together toward consensus on whatever issues are facing us. And I have no doubt that we can do that using appropriate metrics and data to make us strategic in our decisions and mindful in the results. So we have some dates listed for our information of coming events, and hopefully the more Board of Regents that can attend all these things, the better off we are. I think we will also look for more opportunities to commingle with our faculty, staff, and students, as we did yesterday with the faculty at our retreat, which I'm confident everyone found very useful and helpful and stimulating, maybe even inspiring, and we need that as we go forward as well. With that, does anyone else have anything they'd like to discuss or bring before the board? I won't promise that all the meetings will go this smoothly or be this short, but we will try to be efficient in our business. And with that, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those like sign.